Mr. I let you.
Hey, get in here. Dallas is about to start.
Welcome to the Ewing Barbecue, where we talk about the TV show Dallas. My name is Mary.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Josh, sitting in the sounds of silence.
So, before we get into tonight's episode, I have a big corrections corner to make, because I said something on one of our last podcasts that was 100% not true, and that was that it's legal to sell your baby. Which a friend of mine contacted me.
Did you really say it was legal?
I know. I 100% said it's totally legal to sell your baby. And my friend messaged me and said, yeah, that's not legal because that's considered slavery. And I was like, oh, yeah, the whole buying humans thing, my bad.
Oh, crap. So, I've already sold 6 babies in the last week.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. My bad.
Damn it. Oh,
so do not sell your baby. I guess what people do now is they have lawyers that draw up very specific paperwork. So if you're having someone have a baby for you, they have a lawyer who will draw up that, hey, this money is just going towards like the upkeep of the mother and the well-being of the baby and blah, blah, blah. And basically, it's having a lot of people make money around you having a baby except the mother. So that's a thing.
And she's doing all the work.
She's doing all the work, but it is illegal for her to make much money on it, which I'm just going to say it's questionable, but also that's, I'm guessing it's a much bigger subject than I know about. But my friend Anita would, because my friend Anita has had 8 babies for other people. She's been a surrogate for 8 babies.
She's got a little business going on there.
Well, not a business. I mean, she literally made no money doing it.
Oh,
she
true.
Just does it for other people.
If I could, I would.
She had 2 sets of twins and a set of triplets.
Well, if I could, I would, but I can't.
2 sets of twins?
2 sets of twins and triplets and a single.
Wow.
For other people, because she is an amazing human being, so... Cheers to you, Anita. So that was my corrections corner.
That's awesome. Cheers to you.
Also, I'd just like to make a note that sometimes I may say things that I'm really sure about, and I could be completely wrong. I'm going to act completely like I know what I'm talking about, and if I don't, just call me on it. Just tell me, and then I'm going to admit I'm wrong. So, yeah.
Not me. No.
I'm going to say the same thing. Sometimes I say things before I think. I don't have a filter. And I get in trouble for my mouth sometimes, and I have very strong opinions. But if you don't agree with me, I'm completely fine with that.
Right. I'm the same. Like, I have very strong opinions, but I respect someone else's ability to have another opinion. Right. Which could come up in some of these upcoming episodes with big, like, political issues.
Me too. Yes, for sure.
I have very strong opinions, but I respect everyone else's opinion to have their own opinion.
It will.
I'm always right. No.
What a dude.
And there's our male on the show.
Except when I go left. But that's another story.
Ba-dum-bum.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. We're going to get started.
We are.
Someone's going to represent, you know. I mean,
that's right.
Holy fight. I'm just kidding.
Okay. So tonight we're going to talk about season 2, episode 7, Runaway. It was written by Worley Thorne, directed by Barry Crane, and aired October 28th, 1978. And yeah, thumbs
is
down.
Is that her real name, or would you be hiding your real name too if you wrote that?
I definitely would be hiding my real name if I wrote this.
And we had a guest star casting note of Greg Evigan from BJ and the Bear and My Two Dads.
Hell yeah.
Oh, and in our trivia book, this is the shortest fucking episode ever because there's nothing to tell about it. It ranked 35 in the ratings, which I don't even know how it ranks that because it sucks.
And it is the last episode shot in the city of Dallas for the season.
For just this season?
For just this season, yes.
Okay.
They return to the sound stages of sunny California.
Hmm. Okay.
So if you see a palm tree in the background being aired,
just ignore it.
Yeah. And a quick birthday shout out. Today we're recording is June 20th, and it is Danon Simpson's birthday, who is played Kendall on Dallas.
Oh, happy birthday. Danon, is that how you say your name? Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
I have her autograph. I have it.
And I'll be throwing up a picture of her and Deborah Cernelli that was taken recently, so I'll throw that up on the Facebook page.
Cool. Awesome. So this episode starts out where they are planning Lucy's upcoming birthday. This episode starts out where they are planning Lucy's 18th birthday party. I think it's 18th anyway, because she's still in high school and it's her last year. So I'm assuming it's her 18th birthday. And Lucy is not having an opinion at all.
Yeah. Is it her party or is it right. party a for a political party. Purpose? A Ewing
right.
party.
Right.
I don't know.
It's the one thing that she wants to have a band play called the Coffins. And to me, that sounds like that's going to be like a super awesome early 80s goth band. So hell yeah, Lucy.
But the band that ended up showing up looked like they belonged in Coffins.
100%.
Be checking into Coffins 100%. Real soon.
100%. Terrible. Oh. And so yeah, so Lucy gets mad because they're not letting her plan any part of her party.
This whole episode sucks.
No, it's terrible. It's terrible.
I think I look at it as
which is almost, understandable.
Yeah, and it's almost like a companion piece to Lessons from the miniseries.
Yes.
Because there she was more manipulative and thought she was in control of it, you know, manipulating people. But here she, nobody listens to me. Why? And she, you know, runs off of the car and does whatever
right.
she
and,
does.
I mean, she's not wrong in that, like, she's literally saying, like, look at me, listen to me, like, I'm a person here, you have to pay attention to me. And, I mean, this is getting to, like, down to what is Lucy's issue, is she's invisible in her family, and so she's always seeking attention.
And even when they talk about, like, in previous episodes and maybe upcoming episodes where they talk about Ewing heirs, like, having the first mm-hmm. baby, I know it's male, but it's like...
Right.
The way they're talking about it, it's like they're having the first grandchild. And it's like, hello.
And she's like, hi, I've been here for a long time, you guys.
Here, me, hello. Waving, hello. Yeah. But they don't see her.
Yes.
No, they never see her. And so she leaves.
I feel sorry for her. I feel sorry for her for like a split second.
Just a split second?
I feel sorry for her for like a split second.
I do feel sorry for her, but then also
really
she's
me
super annoying too. So both of those things are true to me. Like I feel sorry for her, but she's awful at the same time.
Right. Now,
Yeah, and she carries a guitar away.
Yeah,
guitar.
Has she ever had a guitar before?
Well,
she,
no, does, never. You know, we've never
seen it. Well, yes, she could have.
And that guitar is as big as her. It is so big.
It looks stupid.
And she takes it out of the car and into the restaurant. That car had a trunk. She could have put the stuff in
the
trunk.
She leaves everything else in the car. Like, she leaves her clothes, everything but the guitar. And, like, okay, I'm going to say, like, I play a stringed instrument. I play a cello. And you are actually supposed to bring your instrument with you when you go places. But no one's going to do that if they're at a rest area. And Lucy doesn't know that. She doesn't play guitar that well.
No, and she doesn't sing well, as we see later in the episode, because it's an overdub. That's as bad as Kate Mulgrew's singing later in the season.
Yeah.
Captain Janeway, paging Captain Janeway. Now, she gets upset. She takes the car. The next morning, JR looks out the front, his bedroom window. How can he see the driveway from his bedroom window? Is it
right? I need like a diagram of how this place is set up.
Is it like the Brady Bunch house, where at one point every room overlooked the backyard?
Exactly. Oh my god. And And also, like, the Ewings leave the garage door open, because when Lucy goes out at, like, 3 in the morning, the garage door is, like, completely open, middle of the night. Like, they're not worried about someone going in there and stealing a car or a bike or something.
Well, Ray may show up in the middle of the night with some stuff, because, like he did, you know, a couple episodes earlier.
With some stuff, a.k.a. his dick.
Crazy Ray. Here he comes, no shirt, pulling up in the truck.
But this in the porn truck, yeah.
But this is the first episode where he and Lucy don't flirt or anything. She actually has a conversation with him.
Yeah, that's
true. And they don't pull the binoculars, and they don't have the binoculars by the barn to look.
No binoculars, you know, look at people. No creepy flirting. It's just she's like, hey, I need you to be my friend and talk to me. And like, he doesn't really have much time for her either.
Because he has to figure out a way to get Miss Ellie into bed.
That's because she knows she's about to get the fuck out of there.
Miss Ellie's probably the only one he hasn't slept with so far. Someone on our Facebook page in the conversation, which, by the way, if you are not on our Facebook discussion group, please join us because we're having a lot of fun. And someone pointed out that basically Ray is like a porn star.
Yes.
Like, he's living his own porn movie. Like, he's having sex with everyone.
He is. He's a horny...
Ray Diggler?
Ray Diggler. That's his name from now on.
He is totally living it up on South Fork. Ray Diggler.
Ray Diggler.
Yeah.
So I guess, really and truly, after the hoopla, she steals the car, which is props to her for stealing JR's
100%.
Car.
100%. I love that.
Then it just goes downhill. It goes downhill from there, pretty much.
Right.
With Willie Gust and his creepy, like, shag van and the...
So she goes the
mattress in the back and
So she goes to a diner and then she ends up running from the because the police show up and then she decides oh man because they notice the car I have to take off so then she starts trying to thumb a ride like
hitchhike oh my
like,
god
I know it's the 70s but again Ted Bundy you guys Ted Bundy is out there
hello Ted Bundy.
Exactly.
He jumped out the courtroom house window, and he's run off. He was in Florida. He's run off to God knows where.
Right. Hitchhiking. Like, just don't do it. That's how you get killed.
You will get murdered if you hitchhike.
You will get murdered.
And nobody else is on the road. Nobody's driving. Every scene where the car where they're driving that van, there's nobody else on the road.
Yeah.
Swings around, pulls over. You know, it's just like, hello, what time of day is this? It's daylight, but nobody's on the road.
No, yeah. It makes it seem like they're in a really remote part of Texas.
Okay, so where are they heading? San Antonio?
I think they're going to San Antonio, but San Antonio's like how far from Dallas?
That's a good question.
3 hours.
3 hours, okay. Mm-hmm. And so she leaves in the middle of the night. She's in a dress. She pulls into the restaurant / gas station, whatever. She's wearing a completely different outfit.
But then they're going on to Austin after San Antonio.
That's true. Is that on the way or is that completely out of the way?
Because Bobby knows Captain Novak over in Austin.
Because Bobby knows everyone.
So, yeah, Detective Bobby Ewing. This is the 70s like police show with Bobby Ewing as the detective.
It is, and Bobby turns into Jessica Fletcher from Murder She Wrote because he shows up and then they let him like take over this investigation and he's like, I'm leading it now and everybody listen to me because I'm Bobby Ewing. Like, why do you have any authority, Bobby Ewing? Like, I know you're rich, but beyond that.
Because he knows Captain Novak. That's the important thing. That's the missing link there.
He must have some dirt on Captain Novak because otherwise, why would he have any authority?
College roommates. I don't know.
Because he's Bobby Ewing.
Oh, that's true.
That's right. That's
with
right.
The oil chest. Yes.
Thank God not in this episode. That was gross.
Are you done vomiting?
Give me a minute. Okay, I'm done.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so JR says a lot of things in this episode that make me want to punch him in his stupid face. First, he says,
yes.
Well,
do tell.
Females, sometimes their emotions just get in the way of their common sense. Fuck you, JR.
Fuck you, JR. Says,
besides, it's her birthday. No one can comprehend how a woman is going to react to that. Fuck you again, JR.
And again.
You know those emotional women, that sort of...
Right. Those ladies in their vaginas, they get all cryy all the time.
Look, this is late 80s. No, late 70s, early 80s, and it is still very, no offense, Josh, it is still very male chauvinist. Very, for a
God
long time.
God bless him. God bless him. No.
It I'll must punch be... you.
Yeah.
I bite. No. JR has that safari. He has that safari shirt and the bandana this time.
Yep. I wrote that he's bringing out the safari outfit for the occasion.
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. For real. For real. Where the fuck does the safari outfit come from?
Well, you know they have a Serengeti plane in the back of South Fork where he can go on a safari?
Anytime, yeah.
Yeah.
He has to have, like, multiple of the safari outfit because he's not going to be wearing the same one all the time, you know?
Well.
Yeah.
That's true.
A closet full of safari outfits.
Some of them have, like, lipstick stains on them, so you can't wear those again.
Right. He has to, like, leave those, and yeah. Oh, my God.
But on the other side, you got the man from Atlantis in the pool again. Bobby was in the pool.
Right, he's in the pool. While Lucy is on the road with the psycho BJ and the Bear guy who probably has a trunk full of heads.
But Pam was looking very fetching in this episode, according to JR.
Oh, can I say something?
Yes, you may, Sarah.
He would totally take Pam if she wasn't a bum.
Before I forget,
100%.
We have to acknowledge that the random crazy hitchhiker fur raper van man is the guy from Macho Dads, the hot dad.
We said that.
100% Macho Dads guy.
BJ and the Bear too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised he doesn't go because doesn't he sings on Macho Dads, right? Isn't he the dad who sings and has like.
Yeah,
I think he has like a keytar or something in Mikey Dad's. Like,
what
so
the
I'm
hell
surprised.
Is a keytar?
A keytar is like a guitar, but it's a keyboard. It's like a traveling keyboard that people strapped on themselves in the 80s.
Yes.
It's very 80s.
Okay, so this was a drunk thing.
In the 80s.
This was a stoner creation. Okay.
I think it was just a very 80s creation.
Did he sing on Mikey Dad's?
I'm going to act like I know what I'm talking about. And I'm going to say yes, because I'm pretty sure he did.
Because that had Stacy Keenan on it.
I think he did.
Who played Suzanne Summers' daughter on Step by Step, which starred Patrick Duffy.
I love Stacy Keenan.
And it had Vonnie Ribisi.
Yep.
He went by Vonnie at the time. And it had Chad Allen from Our House and St. Elsewhere, who was the kid who imagined all of St. Elsewhere. And in Our House, did anyone see the episode where he was in the coma and Patrick Duffy played his father on Our House?
No!
He played like the ghost of his dead father.
Yeah, the ghost of the dead father,
Yes, the ghost of his dead father. Because the mom was played by Deirdre Hall from Days of Our Lives. That was like the 5 seconds that she was not on Days of Our Lives. She was on Our House. Mm-hmm. And,
is that the daytime one? I
totally watched Days of Our Lives. Yeah. Or I did. I wish I still did.
My mother and grandmother used to watch that. I remember hearing. And these are the days of our lives.
Days of our like sands through an hourglass.
And like sands through the hourglass, the Senate race is starting to heat up in this episode.
That's true.
Yes.
Smooth transition.
It kind of is like one of the early threads of a continuing storyline.
Yep.
As we get closer to serialization in a few episodes.
Yeah, and they start talking about at the birthday party, because there's a bunch of political people there, and the Ewings are trying to find someone to run against Cliff Barnes because they don't want Cliff Barnes to win. From what I'm understanding, from what they say about the politics, I'm pretty sure Cliff is like a Democrat and the Ewings are Republicans, and so they're trying to get someone... a Republican that's going to beat him because he's polling pretty high.
Right. And they go a lot more into that in, obviously, the episode election.
The next episode, yeah. But right now, they're talking to all these people. And at the party, that's one of... they're trying to get this guy Slade to run, I believe. And then someone says, Cliff Barnes has more sex appeal than Slade. And I'm like, really? Okay.
Well, that got Sue Ellen's ear. That certainly got her attention. Now, you're talking about the party, and they went ahead and had this party while she was off
completely without the birthday girl. They're just like, we're gonna have it anyway. Like she's missing, whatever.
Obviously, proving that it wasn't a party for her; it was just
a
party for the family. Because I didn't see any of Lucy's friends there dancing to the guys that looked like they belonged in coffins.
There was no one under 40 at that party, I don't think.
No.
And Yeah, no one under 48. And they're like, no one even seems worried. Like, this girl is missing. Like, we don't even know. Like, someone could have kidnapped her. She could have, like, gotten killed by the guy.
They could have bungeed her, as you were saying.
Yeah, she could have been killed by Ted Bundy. We don't know. Nobody's worried. Nobody, but, like, Jock is a little bit worried. And they're like, let's not tell him any news because we don't want him to actually worry. I'm like, What is wrong with you people?
We don't want him to have another heart attack. So.
Oh. Well, I mean, that's fair. But
yeah.
Still, why is no one else worried?
Right. And how... I don't know. You know, down south, you know, Sarah, you live down in Alabama, but the rain came in so fast at the end of that episode. They had that party all cleaned up. The band was gone. Everything was put away. And they were, like, there at the end of the episode. And it was like... That was a fast cleanup. Which, you know, surprised me because I don't know. They had to get the caterers out of there. They had to get all the food out. They had to get the presents away, the guests home, and clean up the trash. You know, people leave trash. So.
It's true. That's true. This is the first time we ever hear Sue Ellen talk about politics. And considering what happens later, I feel like it's kind of showing it's a little bit of a good fit.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, obviously... coming up in the next episode and subsequent episodes after that, she...
And she's like, I think she's trying to fake it at first, like, oh, I'm doing my duty as a wife talking about it, but she kind of shines a little bit when she's talking to the politician, you know?
Right, and then...
And I think she's surprised that she is interested in it.
Well, is she interested in it or the other candidate?
The other candidate, and that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Right.
Anything to push JR's buttons, of course.
Right. Right. So,
which, you know, is like Lucy and her always instigating. And in this episode, just a couple of house points. Obviously the ugly busy wallpaper in the dining room was just,
of course, it's
just
awful.
And when they went upstairs, we saw what did we see? We saw the couch in the hallway. We never really got to see the, you know, cuz they didn't. In the later years, they had the long hallway where a lot of things took place, but this one, they have that curved hallway at the top of the stairs, and it looked like they only had two bedrooms up there.
I know. It seemed really small once he got up there.
I would challenge somebody out there maybe an architectural background, to draw the house plans.
Oh, my God. Please, someone do that. Yes,
The inside for where every room is laid out, where the exercise room is, which we think is in the basement. And because then you had in the
see, I think after the fire, they put the exercise. I always assumed, anyways, that they put the exercise room into the old office that was
that we never saw again.
Yeah, because it's the one that like Gary spills the milk in. I think that's the exercise room after the fire.
And then the front door never seemed to open again because they would always come in the back door.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's like, did you guys ever play the Commodore 64 Dallas game? In the 80s?
No, I remember that, though.
No.
So there's a Commodore 64 game, and it was, I had, like, a bootleg version of it. And it was one of those where you, like, had to type in, and you had to get out of South Fork, and you had to type in commands, and Sue Ellen was laying on the couch. And if you open the front door...
Was she drunk? You got...
probably.
How do I not know this?
If you open the front door, JR had two henchmen that punch you, and then you're dead, and the game's over.
And if you went out to the barn, you saw Ray and Lucy in the barn screaming.
In the barn, right. Ray Diggler.
And if you made it out to the cow pasture, you saw Pam in the lake there with Ray. And this is the episode where a lot of people are throwing up.
The episode had no meaning, basically.
It didn't.
No redeeming.
I mean, I think it's just to show... it was to give Lucy an episode. And it was subpar.
Yeah.
And the problem with episodes like this is you get an episode like this that gets high ratings. Mm-hmm. And then people are... Oh, that episode sucked. I'm not going to watch
everyone's
next week.
Oh,
and
that show sucks.
Then you had a good episode and the ratings went down.
Because the next episode is awesome.
Right.
Okay. But let me say this. It did rank 35th, but right after it says, this is the last episode of the season filmed in Dallas. But it said also, this is when it moved back to Sunday nights, which helped viewership.
Oh.
So, like you said,
So when Sunday, Saturday, viewers, Sunday,
and
Friday.
And they were like, oh, this shows up.
So people are like, when is it on again? Yeah, because they're trying to find it.
That was like when they moved Twin Peaks around during its last season.
It. Yes, and you couldn't figure out when it was on, 100%.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I don't know. Should we put a pin in this one?
So...
You want to do your how many shots? We won't even do highs and lows. No.
Yeah. Fuck it. I'm gonna say this is like 2.5 bourbons.
I'm gonna give this 2 bourbon.
Okay, I am gonna save my bourbon and I am gonna give it a case of skunked beer.
Nice.
Yes.
I'm not even gonna waste the bourbon on this episode. We're giving
it
a case of skunked beer. That Digger and Dandy Dandridge would get together and drink in a back alley somewhere with Sue Ellen and Lou Diamond Phillips.
Well, I don't think you like this episode, Josh. This episode you did not like.
It was a 70s cop show crammed into the title.
It was 100. Dallas. Yes, I agree with you.
I was waiting for Starsky and Hutch to show up, for God's sakes.
Yeah, it was bad. Yeah, so, yeah. But stay tuned because the next episode's better, so please watch that one.
So good.
Yeah. Tell us what you think about this episode. Maybe you like this episode and you think we're wrong. Why don't you come on to our Facebook group, the Ewing Barbecue Podcast, and tell us that we're wrong or
come
agree
on.
With us.
That come on and episode. Fight me. Fight me
yeah,
for this.
Fight us. Come on.
I'm ready.
And you could find us on Instagram at the Ewing BBQ and on Twitter as BBQ Ewing. Please tell your friends about this podcast. Please review, rate, and subscribe, and all that stuff.
5 stars and nothing less.
5 stars. Yeah, only 5 stars.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, and we will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.